in good soil, that the seed of your word, Lord, will germinate, grow, and bear much fruit, fruit that will remain. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, beloved, once again, it's a great honor and privilege to stand before you. And I don't say that lightly, because so much is happening in our world today. We're finding that death is no discriminator. Death comes and claims the young and the old, the rich and the poor. And so as we are able to stand before you, we count it an honor and a privilege that God would ordain such for such a time as this. Well, God still has me preaching and teaching regarding the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, particularly when we come together on the second Sunday as we have today. And I want us, if you would, turn to one passage of scripture, Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 20, and from there we will build on the topic, crucified with Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and the scriptures that I will read, including this passage and those that will follow, will be from the King James Version. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. My version, written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Galatia, reads, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Crucify with Christ. Now, what does that really mean? And that's what we want to delve into today, and what we've been trying to articulate over these last 3 months is that when we can fully understand and we can fully embrace that which the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, when he went to Calvary's cross, he shed his blood for the remission of our sins on that cross. He died, but on the third day he was raised from the dead. It was through that act of obedience that all the blessings, all the promises of the word, everything that we need that pertains unto this life and unto godliness comes by and through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And if you and I as believers will begin to embrace the fact that that was not a one-time event, that event was something that catapults us when we understand and we're able to appropriate what the word is saying to us through Jesus's sacrifice, that if we will embrace the fact that God intends for us to be a force in the earth, he intends for us to do the works which Jesus Christ himself did, and even greater works, when we understand and know that it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through that eternal blood, that life-giving blood, that we ourselves can live and walk in this Christian life in a victorious manner. And so what we want us to look at is, what does it mean to be crucified with Christ? What was Paul talking about? Well, I want to begin with chapter 1. You don't have to turn there of Galatians, because he sets the stage for what this whole book is about. And this, we just lifted up this one passage, but beginning with verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul writes, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so Paul reiterates the fact that Jesus Christ came into this world that he might give himself for our sins, that he might, in this present evil world which we live in, he might deliver us, he says, from this evil world. And so when we understand and know that Jesus Christ came not only to reconcile us through the veil of his flesh, but he came to restore us and to grant back to us all the authority, all the dominion, all the power and blessings that he originally gave to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, then you and I too can begin to walk in the fullness of the power and the authority that God has for us. And so when we talk about being crucified with Christ, we got to go all the way back to when God established a sacrificial system by which the sins of men would be initially covered by the blood of animals. And he began that process with Adam and Eve. The reason we know that, because the Bible tells us in chapter 2 of Genesis that Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. And one offered unto God a more acceptable sacrifice, and the other offered unto God a sacrifice that did not please him. Now, we understand and know that a sacrifice is something that is placed on an altar. An altar being an object by which is to be sacrificed is killed, the blood spilt and spread on that altar, so that payment for sin debt might be acknowledged through obedience to God's direction in his word. Well, we understand and know that God instructed his servant Moses to also institute and initiate this sacrificial system so that the blood of these animals would be a sin covering. Say covering.
Covering.
So it would be a sin covering for the children of Israel. And so what we find in Exodus chapter 29, verse 37, God instructed Moses, he said, 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy. And then he says something very interesting. He says, whatsoever touches the altar shall be holy. So for 7 days, God told Moses, look, I want you to follow my instructions. Do certain things to sanctify the altar. And in this case, this altar was an altar that he instructed him to make that was made of gold, had the wings of the angels, and had a mercy seat. And he instructed him to kill animals and spill the blood and to, you know, spread that blood over the horns of the altar and over the mercy seat so that it would make it an atonement for the sins of the people. And we know that God set it up so that the life of these animals would be a type, if you will, of what the sacrifice God was going to do through his son, Jesus Christ. So God set it up so that the life of an animal and the blood of the animal, because the life of the flesh is in the blood, right? That would be the way that God will cover sins, and he would not judge the people for a year's period of time because of this sacrificial system that he set up. Now, when we look at God sacrificing his son, Jesus Christ. We know that he did it on the cross. And that cross was the altar of God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that cross is the same cross that Jesus said his disciples, including you and I, we should take up daily, deny ourselves, and follow him. Now, what does that altar really represent? It represents self-denial. It represents self-sacrifice. It represents total obedience and trust to what God intends to happen in our lives as he intended it to happen through his son, Jesus Christ, for our lives. And so when Paul talks about being crucified with Christ, what he is talking about is mentally, he understood that Christ had to die for a specific purpose, for a specific reason. But that first, the altar had to be made sanctified before anything could be offered unto it. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he sanctified the cross even before he shed his blood by his lifestyle. Now, what is that saying to us today? When the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him, what he is saying is that we should be mentally, through faith, have transforming in our minds the fact that God has made a way for us to receive everything in this life. But it starts and ends with our obedience to him and our being willing to sacrifice the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, the pride of life. Those three things that cause us to sin and to miss the mark. And so if we would understand and know that the altar of our own lives begin with our motives, they begin with our attitudes, they begin with our obedience or our disobedience, whatever the case might be, to the word of God, then we can expect to receive that which God promises, or we can expect not to receive that which God has promised. And too many of us, we don't understand and we don't respect the fact that God causes us daily to kill these deeds of the flesh. Yeah. God calls us daily to check our minds, check our motives, and to have him, by the power of the Spirit, convict us in areas where we need convicting. Some of us think we got it all together. Some of us think that, you know, hey, I can judge somebody else. No way. None of us are in that position. And so God wants us to understand when we come to this table, we need to understand that it must come with a certain mentality. That's why Paul wrote in Romans, chapter 6, beginning with verse 3. I want you to turn here. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3. Because it gives us an understanding of what it means to be crucified with Christ. What it means and what is our responsibility that we should look to God to complete that which we can't complete for ourselves. You see, it's not by works that we are able to be crucified with Christ. It's got to be by faith, and it's got to be according to God's provision for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, chapter 3 reads, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection." He says we were baptized into his death. Now what does that mean? That means that the only way that we can be connected with the Lord Jesus Christ is to understand and know that he had to sacrifice himself. He had to deny himself. He had to lay down his life for the good of others. And he expects us to take on that same mentality. He says, look, if we have the right motive, the right understanding that we have been baptized, we've been immersed with understanding. We understand that only by the power of the Spirit of the living God that we can accept the fact that this flesh must die. Paul says we are to mortify the flesh, the affections and the lust thereof. And we are to do it. And how do we do it? We say, Lord, listen, I understand I got some issues. But Lord, I need you to take these things from me. Take the desire for me to lie. Take the desire for me to cheat. Take the desire for me to be in control. Take the desire for me to, you know, go for riches. All these things. We have our own issues. We need to go to God and ask him to take these things away by his Spirit. And if we are sincere in doing so, guess what? God will set up the circumstances where we can do it. Amen. He will test us, just like he tested Abraham when he told him to lay his son Isaac on the altar and to kill him. Hallelujah. And when God found out that Abraham was serious, he was about to plunge that knife into the heart of his son. He said, stop. I see now that I can trust you. And guess what? God will do the same thing for you and I. He's going to test us to see if we're serious about his business. But it takes a certain mentality. It takes the mind of Christ. It takes being transformed by the renewing of our mind. It takes us giving our bodies, offering our bodies unto him as a what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. How do we become holy and how do we become acceptable? Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through the provision of the veil of his flesh and his blood, by understanding that Christ himself sanctified the altar of the cross first and foremost, and shedding his blood, giving his life as a ransom for us. But not only that, he was raised the third day. Not only did he reconcile us, but he restored us. Yes. And see, that's the part that you and I have to begin to work on. Now, we're cool when it comes to being saved. We're cool with the understanding of knowing that it takes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for us to obtain eternal life. We're cool with that, but it's the restoration that we have to work on. What do you mean by that, Pastor? What I mean by that is that when one is restored, that means that all things have been made proper. All things have been made right. The debt has been paid so that God can say, look, I can give you back that which was taken away from you. I can redeem you. I can restore you. I can empower you. I can bless you because you understand and know that it's not by your might, it's not by your power, it's only by my Spirit. Amen. And so when God puts us in times of testing, when God gives us challenges in our lives, we don't begin to cower. We don't begin to back up. We don't begin to fall back to our human ways. No, we begin to call on the name of the Lord. We begin to speak the word over our situation. We begin to understand and know that it's only by God that we can be delivered through the situation and the circumstance for which we need deliverance. Now, he places us together to exhort one another and to encourage one another. But the fact of the matter is, God is looking for some grown men and women. Too many of us are children, we're babes, we're still drinking milk, we still need somebody to hold our hand. And God is saying, look, we're living in the evil day. We have to crucify our flesh. We have to crucify our desires and give them over to God so that God can begin to speak to us, so that God can begin to open up great understanding to us so God can begin to show us the way that we should go.
Yeah.
I am praying and I'm asking God, my heart just goes out to the people of God in particular, because we're living in a very unique time. We're living in a season where we're seeing this economy go down, and quite frankly, beloved, I don't see it getting any better. There are going to be some peaks and valleys, but we're not going to experience the prosperity that we experienced years ago. Why? Because we're living in that evil day. And God wants us to understand that the only way we're going to be victorious is through submitting to His will. And just as Jesus Christ had to go to the cross, He had to shed His blood, He had to die, He learned, the Bible tells us that Jesus learned obedience through the things that He suffered. Now that's the Son of God. Now if He had to learn obedience through the things He suffered, who are we to think that we're not going to have some suffering in our lives? Who are we to think that we can escape and just live life, you know, as a bed of roses? Who are we to think that we can escape being crucified in our flesh so that the glory of God might be revealed? And so He's saying to us very vividly and clearly that we must crucify ourselves. Verse 6 of Romans chapter 6 says, knowing this, that our old man, the old nature, pre-Christ, is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Then he goes on to say, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in its lusts thereof. I'll stop right there. And so, listen, if we are going to be dead with Christ, if we are going to be crucified with Him, I want to give us three thoughts. One, we must understand that we have an altar. And that altar begins with our mind. It begins with our thinking. It begins with our acceptance of the Word and the way of God. And the Word and the way of God is that we need to kill, mortify, get rid of the deeds of the flesh that's selfish, that's self-centered. And we need to put our faith and our trust in the way of the cross. In the way of the cross is that we deny ourselves, is that we give our lives unto God so that we can be a blessing unto others. Sir, we would see Jesus, except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will be raised up and bear much fruit. You see, our lives have been purchased. We've been bought with a price. We've been redeemed. We've even been restored. But if we want to see the fruit of God, if we want to see the revelation of God, if we want the rhema word of God, we need guidance and direction in these days. If we want that, we should be willing to do some sacrifice. I should be willing to do some sacrifice. Yeah. Practically, what does that mean? A little less TV.
Yeah.
Well, hallelujah.
Yeah.
A little less doing the things that gratify this flesh. Now, God wants us, don't get me wrong, He wants us to be able to enjoy life, but we do it on His terms. You see, what we're holding on, nothing can compare to the glory that God has for us if we would be willing to do a little dying, a little more dying. And He gives us that illustration. That seed that goes into the ground and dies, it produces a plant. That plant grows to maturity and produces a seed head that has many, many more seeds than that original seed, that one seed. That's what God wants for us. You see, as we die, as we reckon ourselves crucified with Christ, nevertheless, we live. How do we live? We live by the Spirit. We live for the Spirit. We live in the Spirit, through the Spirit. God will begin to multiply the fruit that He has for us in our lives. God wants each one of you to know that He has a special blessing for each one of you. He's seen our suffering. He's seen our challenges. He's seen our heartache and our pain. He's seen the fact that we've been dealing with many, many issues. But what He's calling us today and reminding us when we come to this table, that if we're willing to put our all on the altar, used to be a song we used to sing, put your all on the altar. Amen? Of sacrifice laid. Amen. If we're willing to do that, guess what God says? God promises us that we will be raised to the newness of life, and that newness of life is the same power, the same authority that Jesus Christ had when He was raised from the dead. Because God gets the glory when His people can tangibly show the fact that God is alive and well. You see, beloved, as much as we love to see you on Sunday and gather, we should. Guess what? God really, what He's interested in is us going to somebody who's sick and lay our hands on them. And in the name of Jesus, be healed. Amen. Cancer, you cannot remain in this body by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? The cancer has to go. But that doesn't just happen because we say it. There's a logical order. And that's what God wants us to see here. That Jesus Christ, He had to suffer. He had to be rejected. He had to divest Himself of His power and His authority. He had to submit to the will of men, even those who were in authority over Him when He was on this earth. He submitted to. But most of all, He submitted to the will of the Father. And so God is not calling us to die a physical death on some wooden altar or whatever it might be made of. What God is calling us to do is to be willing to sacrifice and to let die those things that are holding us back from receiving all that God has for us. I want to conclude the message by simply reading the Word of God, because it speaks to the mind of Jesus Christ. And if we understand and know that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world for one express purpose, and that is for those who would believe on Him, they would have the right, they would have the authority to operate in this world as sons and daughters of God. But it had to take Him sacrificing, going to that cross, letting the veil of His flesh be torn, His blood shed, so that you and I could enter into the holiest of holies. Old Testament picture is that the temple had three areas: the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies. And even he had to go in the right way. His heart had to be right for God to accept his sacrifice of those animals. But when Jesus Christ went to that cross, his flesh was rent, his blood was spilled, his life was given up. The Bible tells us that the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. And that made access for us to enter to the holiest of holies. Boldly, we could come to the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 5, reads, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadeth pleasure therein, which are offered by the law," then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." Say this:
I come
to do thy will,
O God.
And if you mean that, God hears you. Then he says, "O God, he taketh away the first, that he might establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified," here it is, "through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." Verse 14, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Hallelujah. "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. One, not done yet. Verse 18, "Now where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God," he says, "let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works." One of the reasons that we come together is to be reminded of why we're together: through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we experience a new covenant in him. And that new covenant has to do with the fact that we can live this life victoriously. But we have to do it with the understanding that it takes self-sacrifice, it takes self-denial, it takes submitting our will to God's will. And when we do that, the Bible says that our hearts are sprinkled. We have having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The thing I want to leave us with is that It's not by works that we can do all these things. It's only through faith in the Word of God. Having heard the Word of God, then it's up to us to walk in that faith. The Bible is very clear that those who walk by faith, He says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into hearts of those the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. God wants to do some great and mighty things. God wants to do some miracles. And I'm excited to see that God is beginning to show up and to manifest His presence more and more. But beloved, I want the best that God has to offer for all of us. But I want to say it this way. As we begin to understand and know that it's not about us, it's all about God.
Yes, sir.
Then we can say with confidence, all things, say that, all things,
all things
work together,
for my good,
because I love God, and I'm called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, You've heard the confession of Your people. And Lord, we thank You and we bless You that, Lord, You continue to show us, Lord God, how we are to live in this world, how we're to navigate in the times and the seasons in which we live, and how You desire for us to draw near unto You with a clear conscience. But Lord, You expect us to understand and to know Your word.